Well, some of you guys were here last week when Pastor Jim wrapped up Hebrews chapter number 2. And then he gave me the charge and he said, you can preach whatever you want. And I just thought we were going a little bit too fast in Hebrews. And so I'm going to stay in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2, but I'm going to kind of rewind and go back over some things that I believe the Spirit of God wants to draw out and bring out to our attention. Today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Hebrews chapter number 2. And we're going to take a look at verse number 14 and verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 2, if you remember, verse number 14 says this, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Now, if you remember, this was a phenomenal message, a phenomenal insight about Jesus coming and sharing in our humanity, identifying with us so that we could identify with him. And no longer do we stay in bondage, but now we have a freedom. And I want you to notice that up on the overhead, I have some words highlighted. It says that through death, he might, speaking of Jesus, destroy him who had the power of death. And it talks about who that is. That is the devil. So we find out that the devil had the power of death until Jesus came and defeated him. Now that word power there up on the overhead, probably a better word if you want to translate it more directly. You could find out that it's not just talking about the strength or the force exerted through death. That is one meaning of it, but probably a more complete understanding of this word power includes authority, rule, and reign. So in our lives, when Adam and Eve fell, when they handed over the keys to the kingdom, when they handed over the authority and the title deed of earth to the devil at the rebellion in the garden, now the devil all of a sudden had the power of death, or the authority, the rule, and the reign of death. Helps us to understand what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 15 goes on and concludes the thought and says, "And release those," this is speaking of what Jesus did through his death, "he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And if you remember, 4th of July weekend, we talked about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and what he has freed us to and the areas of freedom in our life. And that was just a phenomenal message and a phenomenal understanding. But today, I've highlighted some words again up on the overhead, and I want to read them to you and find out what we're talking about today. It says, "And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Let's just read the highlighted words. It says, "Through fear were subject to bondage." Now, let's kind of rewind our thinking to verse number 14. So the devil, who had the authority, who had the rule and the reign of death, now through fear puts people in subject to bondage. The way that the devil operates, his MO, the way that he is always operated, the way that he always will operate is always the same. He does not have any new tricks. He is an old dog, all right? And the devil is always going to come at you in the same way. He's going to bring fear to get you into bondage. If you operate in fear, you will never be what God has called you to be. You will never do what God has called you to do. You will never go where God has called you to go. You will never love like God has called you to love. If the devil can keep you in fear, he can hinder you and hold you back from the will of God and the plan of God in your life. So the devil's system on the earth, his rule, his reign, his authority is driven by and run through fear. Whereas God's system on the earth is run by faith. There are opposite ends of the scale. The devil operates in fear. God wants us to operate in faith. If we operate in fear, we're subject to bondage. If we operate in faith, we are now subject to freedom. Are you listening today? Now let me show you this to you in the Word, okay? We're going to see both of these systems in one verse, okay? Mark chapter number 4. Turn there with me. The book of Mark chapter number 4. Jesus is taking his disciples. They're in a boat. There's some other boats with them. And he says to them, "Let us go over to the other side." So he has said, now we're crossing over this lake. We're going to go over to the other side. Now don't get confused, because there was a couple times Jesus did this, and I even got them confused in some of the earlier services and preached a great word with the wrong reference. So this is the time where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, okay? Jesus lays down in the boat and falls asleep. I mean, this guy has been ministering. He is tired. Okay, he does live in a physical body, and it shows us the humanity of Jesus. Now, the disciples start rowing, and they're rowing across in a great windstorm. The waves start coming up, and they're rowing, and the water's overtaking the boat. And as this is all taking place, here's Jesus just sleeping in the stern of the boat. And the disciples wake him up, and they say, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing? We're going to die, Jesus, and you're asleep." He stands up, he rebukes the wind, he rebukes the waves, and then he turns to his disciples, and look at what he says in Mark chapter number 4, verse number 40. It says, "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" There's the two systems operating just in one verse. Look at that. Why are you so fearful? Why are you restricted? I said, let's go to the other side. If you had faith in me, you could have gone to the other side. Doesn't matter what storm comes against you in life. Doesn't matter what tries to stop you or hinder you or throw you around. You can go to the other side because I said, let us go to the other side. You wouldn't die, guys. But you were operating in fear. Therefore, you were restricted and couldn't make it. And I had to intervene. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Drop down to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, we've got the story of the ruler of the synagogue. Here he is. He goes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, my daughter, she needs to be healed. She's sick. She's going to die if you don't come, Jesus. Jesus, will you come?" He falls down before him and he begs him. He humbles himself. Jesus says, "I will go and heal her." There they travel, and as they travel, the people are thronging Jesus. And he's walking through a multitude of people, walking through crowds, and the crowds are trying to get his attention, trying to pull him away, trying to get him off track. And there's a woman that presses through the crowd. Here she comes. You know her as the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years she suffered. She spent all of her money on doctors. And all she wants to do is get a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment, because she said to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed." She has faith, and so she climbs through the crowd. She presses through the crowd. She goes past people, and I almost see her crawling through, just moving legs out of the way and just getting through. And there she sees the hem of Jesus' garment, and she reaches out. And as she reaches out and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, she feels the power of God go on the inside of her, and the flow of blood is stopped. Now she is healed. And she quietly dismisses herself and starts to crawl back away from Jesus, when all of a sudden she hears Jesus say, "Whoa! Whoa! Wait a second! Hold up! Stop the train! Someone touched me." Now the disciples had the same reaction some of you had. What do you mean, Jesus, someone touched you? Everybody's touching. I'm touching you right now, Jesus. What are you talking about, someone touched you? Jesus said, nope, someone touched me. I felt power go out from me. Who touched me? Who touched me? Who got the power? The woman realizes, you know what, I'm not going to get away from this. So she comes back and kneels before him and tells him, the Bible says, the whole truth. She says, "You are the Son of God. You are Jesus. You are the Messiah. When I touched the hem of your garment, I felt the power of God flow into me and stop the flow of blood. I've suffered for many years, Jesus, but now I'm healed." While she's talking, the people from Jairus' house come up and they say, "Hey, Jay, come here. Got some bad news for you. You know, your daughter, she died. Don't bother the master anymore." Jesus hears the word, and look at what Jesus says to Jairus. Remember, we're talking about fear. Jairus has fear staring him in the face at this moment. He's afraid. He's just heard that he's lost his daughter. This fear, the very thing which he has feared, has now come upon him. And what does Jesus say to him? Mark chapter number 5, verse number 36. Take a look at it. "When he came in, he said to them," Mark chapter 5, verse 36. "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.'" In other words, Jairus, do not operate in the devil's system of fear. Do not operate in that bondage. If you do, it's going to hold back the life that I have. It's going to hold back the miracle that's going to take place, Jairus. Only believe. Now, we know that Jairus got in faith and believed because Jesus took Jairus. He took Jairus' wife, and he took a couple of faith-filled disciples, put everyone else out, and he raised that girl again to life. So we see the two systems. Fear will constrict, fear will bind, fear will stop us from the destination that God has for us. But faith will open up and unlock the miraculous life of God that God wants to do in each and every one of us. Now, one of the words for fear in the Bible is the word phobos. Okay, it's where we get our word for phobia. You know phobias. You've heard of many famous phobias. There's, you know, the fear of air and the fear of the things on the left side of your body, and there's fear of things on the right side of your body, and there's all these wacky fears that people have, you know, fear of going out in public, fear of germs, fear of this and that, you know, and you're going, what are you talking about, Pastor? I have no fear of germs, as you're putting on the Purell and wiping down your seat with your Clorox wipes that you carry with you and all that kind of stuff, you know, but people have some wacky fears. One of the most common fears, you know, they made a movie about it, arachnophobia, right? The fear of arachnids, fear of spiders, right? And they got this movie with this crazy little spider running around killing people and all that kind of stuff, and just puts fear in you. Listen, I have no fear of spiders. Spider comes around me, I got no problems, right? Okay? Many a times have I broken out the shoe, the flip-flop, the almighty, you know, fly swatter, and taken care of some business, all right? So there is no fear. Another common fear that many people know about is claustrophobia, right? Fear of confined spaces or constricted spaces or tight spaces. People won't even get on an elevator for fear because they've got claustrophobia. They feel like the walls are caving in on them and I can't breathe all of a sudden. And oh my goodness, I had to face this fear recently. My wife and I were celebrating 10 years of our wedding anniversary. We went to Hawaii, and we did in Hawaii what people do when they go to Hawaii, which is that we went snorkeling. And so here I am, it's my first time snorkeling. She'd done it before, so she strapped on her gear and went for it, right? Swimming all around and everything. And so here I am, and I took that mask and I put it on, so I've got this mask on my face, and then I took those little wax things, you know, the little wax, and you put them in your ears so that you don't get swimmer's ear, you know, because that is just too painful to deal with. So I've got a thing on my eyes, I've got a thing in my ears, I got this thing in my mouth, right? You got your snorkel thing that goes up over your shoulder so you can breathe, and you can't breathe like you normally breathe. You have to take in a lot less air. You got to slow down your breathing, and I didn't know that. So here I am. I got this thing on my face, got this thing in my ears, I got this thing in my mouth, and I got these things on my feet, right? I got these flippers on my feet. I'm trying to walk around, and I'm walking like a duck, right? And how many of you know that ducks do it a lot better than we do? And so I'm walking into the water with these things on my feet, thing on my face, thing in my ears, thing in my mouth, and here's the water coming up, and I get down, and I'm about, you know, like waist deep in the water, about 3 feet of water, you know, and so here I am, and I'm supposed to stick my face in the water at this point. Okay, now the natural mind says you don't stick your face in the water and breathe, okay? Doesn't work, but I got this thing in my mouth that's supposed to help me, so here I am, I stick my face in the water, I start looking around, and panic starts to grip me. I stand up out of the water. So I put the thing back in my mouth. I got the thing on my face, thing in my ears, thing in my mouth, thing on my feet, and I stick my face in the water again. I stand up. Panic is gripping me. And I'm thinking, okay, what is going on? Why can't I do this? What? And there's this claustrophobia. I feel like the world is caving in on me, and I'm actually having thoughts that I'm going to drown in 3 feet of water. You know, I could be on my knees and still be out of the water. What's going on here? What? Why am I so afraid? What's happening? My wife is about 20, 30 yards away, and she's like, finally realizes that I'm not right next to her. So she stands up and takes a look at me. What's going on? And I'm standing there staring at the water. Got all this stuff on. I feel like everything's closing in around me. And I prayed and I said, Lord, you got to help me with this one. And it's almost like I heard the voice of the Lord just say, slow down. So I slowed down, put my arms down, and slowly put my face in the water. Slowly let myself float and become buoyant. Slowed down my breathing. Instead of, I went, and all of a sudden, I started to slowly move my feet. Slowly. See, you're in Hawaii. You got to slow down. So here I am, slowly floating across the water, looking at the reefs. And man, we had a great time. And I saw things that I had only seen on Nemo. It was just amazing. It was phenomenal. We had such a good time. Each and every one of us is going to face fears. When you walk out of this place today, you're going to get in your car and there's going to be a fear of crashing. Kids are going to start acting up, and there's going to be a fear that you're a bad parent and that they're going to turn out drug runners or in prison or something like that because they're fighting with each other. There's going to be fears when you go online and take a look at your bank account statement that you're not going to have enough. It's going to be a fear when you see people at the restaurant that kind of look mean, and maybe there's some kids standing outside and they're looking a little mean. There's going to be fears that come against you each and every day. When you go to work tomorrow morning and the boss gives you that disapproving look, there's going to be a fear that you're going to get fired or that there's layoffs or cutbacks, and you're going to be one of those people that gets cut back or laid off. See, there's fears that will come and grip you each and every day. When you get the mortgage statement, there's going to be a fear. When you watch the news, there's a fear. People are actually afraid of Carmageddon. Come on, give me a break. What are we doing to ourselves? We're buying into the devil's system of fear. And we're being constricted, being constrained. There were people that lost money yesterday because they closed their business down because they were afraid that no one was going to come and that the traffic was going to be so bad. You see, fear will stop us and halt us and hold us back from the destiny and the plan and the purpose of God. Now, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. You know where Hebrews is? A couple books back to 2 Timothy. Chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, very familiar verse when it comes to fear, probably the best verse that we could learn and memorize and know in order to face our fears. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, are you there? All right, a bunch of you guys are. Get there with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7 says this. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," say it with me if you know it, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now let's say that again, okay? Don't be bashful, don't be shy. This is an interactive message today, so you need to participate with me. I don't want you just to spectate. Don't just look at me, because I'm not going to be there when the fear comes and faces you. Okay, I can't be preaching this message to you when you're in the car, when you're at home, or when you're on the job. No, you've got to get this down on the inside of you. So if you don't already have 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Get a hold of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Say it with me. Here we go. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's say it again. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, do you see the two systems operating once again? Here's the devil. Here is the spirit of fear. Don't just think that it's a mental thing. When fears come against you, there is a spirit that is behind that. That is the devil's system. There is a demonic thing taking place that is staring you in the face and trying to constrict you, trying to hold you back from the blessings that God has for you. But that has not come from God, the Bible tells us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has, by implication, but of He has given us the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, a spirit of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Three things today that we're going to learn about how to face our fears. How do we face our fears? From 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. How do we face fear? Number one is with God's power. With God's power. This is not about your power to overcome. This is not about your strength, your ability. This is not about the natural ability on the earth or the power of the mind or any of that kind of stuff. This is about the power of Almighty God. God Almighty, the one who created the heavens and the earth, came in the form of his Son, showed us how to overcome temptation. Remember, Jesus had a spirit of fear come against him. Jesus, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Right? What does Jesus do? He says, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, I don't need the natural power of bread to sustain me, devil. I need the power of God and of his word in my life to keep me going. He showed us how to overcome temptation. He showed us, he came and he overcame death itself. Death couldn't even hold him back. He raised the dead, then he was raised by himself. Death couldn't hold him. He overcame the devil. He overcame temptation. He overcame death. He showed us how to exercise authority over the demonic and the spiritual realm. Remember, he cast out devils with one word, come out. Come out. He told them, devil, be silent. Come out. And the devils came screeching out. You know, they came out. Showed us how to exercise physical authority. See, there are fears that will come against you. I'm not going to have enough. Listen, if Jesus can bless and break bread and fish and feed thousands of people, what sort of need do you have that he cannot overcome? I only have a little, pastor. That's all God needs to work. It's all God needs to move. He showed us spiritual authority, physical authority. He overcame death. He overcame the devil. He overcame temptation. Now, let me ask you a question for a second. What is it that you're afraid of again? Hello? What is it that you're afraid of? Why are you so fearful if you've got God's power resident on the inside of you in order to move and to do the will of God in your life? Why are we allowing things to hold us back when God has given us the spirit of power in our life? What is it that you're afraid of? Are you afraid of lack? Are you afraid of being rejected? Are you afraid of men? Are you afraid of the people around you? Afraid of physical harm? See, Jesus had people trying to kill him. They were going to take him up to the side of a mountain and throw him off. They picked up stones at many points in his ministry, and they were going to try and kill him, and he walked right through the middle of them. And the Bible tells us that as he is, so are we on the earth. Listen, you've got the spirit of power. What can man do to you? What are you afraid of? We can overcome it with God's power. There's more power in the weakest Christian than in the greatest nation, the biggest devil, because God is on the inside of us. God has given us everything we need. And when you have a fear, remember that you have the power of God on the inside of you. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Jesus is speaking about people who are afraid of not having food, people who are afraid of not having clothes. He says, guys, don't worry about that stuff. Don't concern yourselves with these things. The nations concern themselves with those things. You don't, as children of God, you don't concern yourselves with those things. Why? Take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Luke 12, 32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God." Now notice he didn't say to give you food and clothes and a roof over your head and a steady job and nice neighbors, a good family. No, what does he say? He gave you not just one little thing, one little segment, one little section. No, God gives you the entire kingdom of God. And now from that kingdom, you can pull every resource that you need. Do you need a home? Pull it from the kingdom of God. Do you need food? Get it from the kingdom of God. You say, well, Pastor Dan, I can't go down to kingdom of God and pick it up. No, you can't, but you can pray and you can ask your Father. You can seek first the kingdom of God. And it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as you seek God and his kingdom, God says, what do you have need of? What are you afraid of? What are you worried about? What are you concerned with? Bring it to me. Cast it on me. I care for you and I will take care of your needs. Do not fear, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure. God's pleased. God is happy. Anybody that says that God does not want to bless you is wrong. Flat out wrong. Why? Because I've got many scriptures, not just this one, but it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Bible tells us that God is a good God and gives good gifts to his children. God is going to take care of your needs. He's watching out for you. He's watching after you. He knows how much money you have or don't have. He knows how the car is running. He knows what's going on in the house. And it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so Jesus says, ask. Come and ask and I'll give it to you. Come and ask. It's your Father's good pleasure. He's happy when he gets to supply the needs of his kids. Anybody who's a parent knows that you get excited, you get happy when your kids are good and they come to you and they ask and you can provide for their needs. It's the same way with our Father God. He wants to take care of you. He's a good God. He's a good Father. Every resource we need is available to us. Provision, power, health, stamina, wisdom, clarity, understanding, peace of mind, anything that you need. It's available to you in the kingdom of God. How do we face our fears? Number one, with God's power. Number two, with God's what? Some of you guys are paying attention. That's cool. Okay, let's all do it together. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So number two, the way that we face our fears is with God's love. One of the greatest fears that people have is of being rejected by men. People are afraid that they're not going to be loved, that they're not going to be appreciated, that they're not going to be accepted, and so they are held back in many things. People are held back in the way that they dress, the way that they express themselves, how they spend their money, where they go, where they don't go. Some of you guys are probably afraid of people's acceptance in this room and thought, what would my family think if they knew that I was going to church? Just plain and simple. What would the people think on the job if they knew that I attended church? What would my friends think if they knew that I read my Bible every day? See, people are constricted and they're held back for fear of rejection. People want to be loved. People want to be accepted just as they are. There are many people who are not afraid of dying, but they are afraid of dying alone. You see, because there's a fear of not being loved, of being abandoned here on the earth. But the Bible tells us that God loves us completely. That God has such a great love for us that nothing can separate us from His love. The Bible tells us that God loves us just as we are. Now, God may not leave you that way. He might want to get in there and make some changes, encourage you, bless you, straighten you up, turn you around, clean you off. Listen, He's a good God. He's going to take care of you, but He loves you just as you are. He may not approve of the way that you are, but He still loves you the way that you are. See, people get all messed up when it comes to love and approval. They think that if God disapproves of their actions, then God's mad at them and doesn't love them, and they run from God rather than run to God. See, the worst thing that you can do when you're in sin or when you're all messed up is run from God. Because God's the only one who has the way to clean you up and to get you going on the right path. So if you run from God when you're messed up, you're going to stay messed up. But if you run to God when you're messed up, God will clean you up, stand you up, set you up, and send you out. You see? Why? Because He loves us. When you have an unconditional love, there is no fear. You are not afraid one bit. Let me show it to you in the Word. 1 John, kind of towards the back of the Bible. If you hit Revelation or Maps, turn around and come back. 1 John. First John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 tells us that God is love. But then we read in 1 John chapter 4 verse number 18. There is no fear in love. In other words, there is no fear in God because God is love. You understand? God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? There is no fear in love. If you're afraid, it's not of God. It's of the devil. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? That means that when you know that God loves you unconditionally, you're not afraid to approach Him with your mess. That when you know that God loves you unconditionally, doesn't matter who loves you here on the earth because you are loved in heaven and you are accepted in the Beloved. You see, it doesn't matter what takes place if people reject you. Jesus said, men will reject you on the earth, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What does that mean? I love you, I accept you, you are accepted in the brethren, you are accepted in this house, you are accepted in this place. If you are a child of God, there is a God in heaven that loves you and a church on the earth that loves you as well. You are accepted in this place. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. There's the devil's system again. There's that confinement, that constriction, that bondage. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In my marriage, I had to learn how much my wife loves me in order for me to feel the freedom to open up my heart to her and tell her everything about myself. Now, it was scary at first. It was hard. It was difficult. There was times that it hurt, and it was painful, and it was rough. But the fact that she stuck around and stayed with me and stuck through it with me, now I don't care what it is. I'll bring anything to her and let her know. Why? Because we have an unconditional love for one another. She can tell me anything. She brings stuff up. She tells me stuff. We open up to each other. And yeah, there may be some hard times or some painful things that we have to go through, but we know that we love each other. We're committed to each other. We're going to stick around through it. There's nothing that's going to separate us. And it's the same way with God. We are called the bride of Christ. And therefore, when we go to God and we've got a mess or we've got a problem or we've got a trial and we think that God's love isn't there, God's there reassuring us, wrapping His arms around us and saying, there's no fear in my love. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, if you're afraid, take it to God, and God will cast that thing out of your life. Perfect love casts out fear. If you know God loves you, there's no fear of not being loved by man or being rejected. The only one we need to love us is God. When you know God loves you, man, who cares? Who cares what's going on? Listen, I don't care how cool I look. I've just come to terms that I'm not cool. Sorry, just how it is. There was a time where I wanted to be cool and I did things in order to get acceptance and appreciation of others. But now, who cares? God loves me. I can walk in freedom and confidence, raise my head high, and walk around knowing that I'm a king's kid and that God loves his children. So, how do we face our fears? Number one is with God's power. Number two is with God's love. Do you know number three? With God's? All right. Let's say it all together. Number three, how do we know that we can face our fears is with God's what?
Sound mind.
You guys are, come on. Hello. Everybody shake it off for a second.
What are people going to think if I say sound mind?
Quit being afraid. Come on. Let's get radical for Jesus. It's not about you looking cool. Wake it up, church. We know that we can face our fears because of God's power, because of God's love, and because of God's
sound mind.
There it is. Sound mind. You know, there's a lot of disturbed people around, especially in San Bernardino. All you have to do is exit the parking lot right here, and you'll see a couple of them wandering around. Listen, I know it sounds funny, but it's true. Many of them wander onto our campus. Many of them come and try and get help. People have tried to medicate it. People have tried to talk to it. People have tried to work through it with books and psychoanalysis and drugs, and they've tried to work it out with locking it up or locking it away or suppressing it. Listen, there have been people so disturbed that they wouldn't even talk to me out in the open. They had to pull me aside because they were afraid that the government was listening to our conversation with cameras and hidden bugs in this room. It sounds crazy, but there are people who are bound by fear and do not have a sound mind. But if you read the Bible, you understand that you have a sound mind. You understand that God has not given us that spirit of fear. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. And when God comes on the scene, there is a sound mind. There is a stability. A better translation, if you look at the word for sound mind, you really find out that it is a saved mind. It is really a safe mind. There is a stability. There is a safety. Psalm chapter 91, we know that if we rest under the shadow of the Almighty, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that no plague shall come near my dwelling, and I will not fear the arrow that flies by day, nor the terror of night, nor the pestilence that stalks. See, there are people that are bound by fears in their mind, in their thinking. They're afraid of the bird flu, and they're afraid of the swine flu, and they're afraid that pretty soon the yellow banana slug flu is coming to get them. All sorts of craziness out there. And yet God has not given us that spirit that binds us and constricts us where we can't even walk outside and take a breath of fresh air. Listen, I don't care how much smog there is in the air, God will sustain my lungs. I don't care how much junk they put in the food, God, if I receive it with thanksgiving, will take care of and heal my body. See, people are so bound by fear. Now, I'm not saying don't walk in wisdom. I'm not asking you to go and suck on your car exhaust or anything like that. That is not healthy. That is not the will of God. And no more than I'm asking you to drink, you know, just sodas every day. Man, you got to drink some water. You got to be healthy, okay? Take care of yourself and do that. But don't be bound by fear. Don't be constrained because you don't have a safe mind. Walk in the freedom of God. God gives us a sound mind. God gives us that stability. It's in the presence of God that we're safe. And because of his presence, we do not fear. There's a man in the Bible, a great man in the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua was a great man in the Bible. The book of Hebrews talks about him. All throughout the Bible, it talks about what a great man Joshua was. If you don't know who Joshua is, maybe you know who Moses is. Moses was Joshua's predecessor. Moses trained up Joshua. When Moses left the tent of meeting, Joshua stayed at the tent. See, he stayed in the presence of God. When Moses was up on the mountain, it was Joshua who was leading the children of Israel into battle. Now, Joshua was the next one in line for the leadership of the children of Israel. And there came a point where Moses went on. Moses died and went to be with the Lord. And now Joshua is facing some things that could confront him and could cause fear. He's facing the leadership of potentially millions of people. He's going to be the one that's going to lead them across the Jordan and into the promised land. That's some pretty big shoes to fill. He's going without the man of God who has led them for so many years. He's going to be the one that people look to for authority and for leadership and for courage and strength. He's going to be the one that's going to face many battles. He'd done battles before, but Moses was up on the mountain with his arms raised. Now there's no mountain, there's no Moses, and there's no arms raised. See, he's got a lot of things staring at him in the face, and God sits him down and has a talk with him. We pick up the story in Joshua chapter number 1, and he says, Joshua, I want you to put your mind on the things of God. Many of you could quote Joshua 1:8, where God says, do not let this book of the law depart from your lips, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Get this in your thinking, Joshua. Meditate on it. Mutter it. Say it out loud. Speak it out of your lips, Joshua, because then you're going to have good success. Then you're going to make your way successful. But look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9. Joshua chapter 1 verse number 9 says this, have I not commanded you? Now stop right there for a second. This is not an option. This is not, it's up to you. This is not, maybe you should. This is not, hopefully you do. No, this is a command from God Almighty. Have I not commanded you to do what? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I don't think we've gotten a hold of this, but God never gives us permission to be afraid. God never gives us permission to walk in fear. God never gives us permission to shrink back or to stop. Why? Because he says, have I not commanded you? See, the devil's system is fear, and when you operate in fear, you are not in faith. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse number 23, that everything that does not come from faith is sin. So when you operate in the devil's system, you are now in sin. When you operate in fear, you are not operating in faith. You are not operating in the ways of God. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does that mean? That means that you're not alone. You're never alone. Doesn't matter who comes against you. Doesn't matter what comes against you. Doesn't matter how big the devil is, that spirit of fear that's going to try and come and whisper in your ear and tell you can't make it, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're not good enough. Whatever it is, you can tell that devil to go take a jump in a fiery lake, because I've got God Almighty on the inside of me who tells me that I can make it, that I look good, that I have more than enough, that he'll supply my need. Hello. You can do it. You can do it. How do we face our fears? Three things that we learned today. Say them with me. Number one, with God's what? Oh, come on, you guys. I thought we'd already been over this. No one's cool in the room. All right. Come on, you Jesus freaks. Let's get crazy for Jesus. How are we going to face our fears? Number one, with God's what? Number two, with God's what? And number three, with God's what? Number one, with God's what? Number two with God's what? Love. Number three with God's what? Sound. Number two with God's what? Love. Hey, good job. That was a little trick one. You want to see me make it get quiet real quick? Tell me the reference. Let's try it again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. All right, get that on the inside of you, because I'm not going to be standing there preaching this message to you when fear is gripping your heart. You're going to be the one there with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that he said. God spoke to you today. Come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God.